Named African global operators and its subsidiary companies were placed under voluntary liquidation in February this year. And this followed notices issued to the directors by two major banks that operated accounts for Basasa that it would be closing the accounts due to the reputational risks associated with the company. Now, last week, the liquidators were in the Supreme Court of Appeal, the SAA, to keep Basasa under liquidation. The Basasa board then filed an urgent application in the Gauteng High Court in March this year and were successful in having the liquidation set aside. However, the liquidators then filed an appeal, which was heard 2 weeks ago. Arguments barely lasted an hour, so the liquidation certainly well underway. I earlier spoke to Kayleen Veyers from Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr to share details around this legal battle to prevent the liquidation process.
Holdings is the holding company of the Basasa Group, so we can call the Basasa Group the group, and then Operations is the wholly owned subsidiary of Holdings, but Operations is a very important company as part of the Basasa Group because they performed all of the treasury functions of the group, which included receiving payments and making payments on behalf of the Basasa Group. And just to give you some background, this massive litigious battle that started was because directors had passed the resolution to place the companies into voluntary winding up and then subsequently had a change of heart and urgently applied to the High Court to basically reverse and set aside those resolutions that they had initially passed. And the High Court granted them that order, setting aside the resolutions and also the appointments of the liquidators. And the liquidators then took the case on appeal to the SCA. A part of the judgment really does affirm what is already quite law in South Africa, but the court actually went further and really wrote home some of the important legal principles when it comes to commercial solvency and insolvency and when those resolutions need to be passed.
Yeah, because I believe that was a particular point, because the directors were saying or trying to argue that they were commercially solvent and were able to operate.
Yes.
What was the conclusion then from the court?
So the court looked at two very important legal considerations. The first one is the meaning of commercial solvency, because I think up until now the general public think that a company is insolvent if its liabilities exceed its assets, which is definitely the case, but that is factual insolvency. And the court focused on the meaning of commercial insolvency, which is the ability of a company to meet its current demands on its debts, as well as its day-to-day liabilities in the ordinary course of business. And the court said that the test is not just whether the company's assets exceed its liabilities, since a company can be commercially insolvent while being factually solvent. And the court actually went so far as to say that a company can be wealthy and have an abundance of assets, but still be commercially insolvent if the company cannot pay its debts as and when they fall due. And the other important point that the court made was that the timing of commercial solvency and insolvency is very important, because what the liquidators in this case tried to argue was that at the moment that they signed the resolution to place the companies in liquidation, they were still solvent because the banking accounts had not yet been closed and the banking facilities had not yet been withdrawn, which was certainly the case. But what the court said was that commercial insolvency or solvency is not something that should be measured at a single point in time. The test is rather whether a company is able to meet its current liabilities, including contingent and prospective liabilities as they come due. And very importantly said that a company's current financial position as well as its financial position in the immediate future must be considered in order to determine the commercial solvency of the company. So what the court said is maybe possibly at that exact moment in time when they signed the resolution, the companies were still solvent. However, the inability to pay their debts was imminent because you know, a couple, it was about 2 weeks thereafter where the banks withdrew their banking facilities. And so that part of the judgment was actually quite groundbreaking in the sense that the message that companies, you know, who are considering resolution needs to consider that if their commercial insolvency is imminent, they are commercially insolvent and liable to be wound up.
The directors of holdings also pointed out or argued the fact that the master in Pretoria doesn't have jurisdiction over the master in Johannesburg, making that appointment invalid. Did that argument have any weight?
So, they were quite opportunistic with all the technical defences that they took, and you're correct that one of them was being that the master in Pretoria did not have jurisdiction and therefore the resolutions were also invalid on that basis. And the SEA held that the master in Pretoria has got concurrent jurisdiction. So the jurisdiction of the master in Pretoria and the master in Johannesburg overlap. And so very importantly, just because a company's registered office is in Johannesburg doesn't mean that the master in Pretoria cannot validly appoint a liquidator of the company.
With the liquidators successfully appealing this decision, do the directors of holdings have any recourse from here on in? Or is the liquidation process now well underway?
This liquidation process is well underway. Once the SCA handed down their judgment, that was the end of it. And the liquidators continued with their job.
Mm.
The Sasa Group obviously was not too happy about it because they basically wanted to take back the control that they had relinquished when they signed those resolutions. But from a legal perspective, they were wrong.
So what happens in terms of the liquidation process from here? Will all of these assets be sold to cover some of the liability of the group?
Yes, so the main purpose and goal of liquidation proceedings is to take whatever value and assets there are in the company and to realize those assets to the benefits of the general body of creditors, and obviously to try and get as much out of those assets as they possibly can. And then depending on the creditors' ranking in terms of the statutory order of preference, they may or may not get a dividend. Because it also depends on how much there is realized at the end of the whole auction process.
And how long do you think this process will unfold, this auction process, Kylie?
It really does depend on a case-to-case basis.
Okay.
But it can take months to years, because it also depends on what offers they get on the various assets. Obviously, liquidators can't, you know, delay the process, and it's not in their interest or the creditors' interest to delay the process unnecessarily. However, they would want to sell the assets for the best value, and sometimes that may take time because they would need to negotiate offers on those assets.
Is liquidation the only way an insolvent company can be wound up?
A company that is in a dire financial situation can either opt to place the company into business rescue, or the alternative is liquidation. Business rescue is always better than liquidation in the sense that it is there to try and preserve the value in the business and to continue operating as a going concern in the long run. However, in a case like this with Basasa, business rescue is never going to work, because as much as they would have achieved the first important requirement for business rescue, which is that the company must be financially distressed, they wouldn't have been able to succeed with a second requirement, which is that there must be a reasonable prospect of rescuing the company. And because in this case there was no bank that was going to take the reputational risk of extending the banking facilities to the group, there was no way that they were a suitable candidate for business rescue, because they would just never have been able to get their bank accounts up and running again so that they could carry on business. So in this case, liquidation was certainly the only route that they could have taken. But I think for other companies, when they find themselves in a financially distressed situation, the most important factor to consider when deciding whether business rescue or liquidation is the better route is to consider whether there is a prospect of the company continuing, and whether the creditors will get a better return in a business rescue than they would in an immediate liquidation.
So following the conclusion of the liquidation process, can we conclude, Kaylin, that African Global Operations will be no more?
They are absolutely no more. That's the end of the road for them.
Kaylin Vayer, Senior Associate at CDH, Cliff Dekker-Hoffmeyer's Dispute Resolution Practice. Appreciate your insights on this matter. Quite fascinating, Kaylin. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
See this piece.